You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, this is Phil Rogers with MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition. As always, joined by Jordan Bastian, who's been covering the Tribe. It's been sort of a tough go for the Indians. As we speak today, 9-15 in June, the stretch run of the first half, and heading into what looks like a challenging week, playing at the surprising Rays in Tampa Bay, and then from there on to Pittsburgh to play a team everybody expected to be strong. Jordan, how you holding up?
Doing fine, man. I'm holding up a lot better than the Tribe right now, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, well, that's understandable. And, you know, just looking at this run in June, you know, and you see some numbers that just show, you know, not only are guys not hitting the way you'd want, but when they're hitting has been bad. I was struck by you got a team that has the second best OPS when the bases are empty, mm-hmm. and the fourth worst when there's runners on base. 61 home runs, 44 solo home runs. Yeah, I know you study the numbers. How much of this do you think is random, and how much of this is, any kind of a common denominator breakdown that you could point to that could be improved?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously been kind of the story of the offense this year, one of the main reasons why the Indians are where they are in the standings right now. I mean, they're pitching for the most part, while disappointing at times, has kind of done their part, and the bullpen has shored up, you know, the last couple months after a rough April. The rotation has gotten some solid contributions. Even Corey Kluber, you know, you look at his record, it's pretty ugly, but, you know, he's dealing with the worst run support among qualified major league starters right now, and that's been an issue for a lot of the starters. And, you know, as you mentioned, that discrepancy between hitting with no one on base versus hitting with runners on, just generally speaking, not even runners in the scoring position, which is another issue where they rank near the bottom of baseball. You know, that's been pretty glaring. I think that's one of those things where you would look at it as kind of an anomaly, you know, something that you would hope over the course of a full season would help even out a little bit. But, I mean, they're digging themselves quite a hole right now. And, you know, even if they start to close that gap between the difference between bases empty and runners on, you know, you hope that they're not too far back in the standings to kind of make up that difference. So, again, I think that's something that would even out over time over the course of a long season. The one thing that I might point to that could be a contributing factor, besides just simply not making adjustments, would be that they have a lineup filled with guys who have a propensity for striking out. You know, whether it's Brandon Moss or some of those other guys in the lineup, you know, they usually, for their career record, have had high strikeout rates, but they've made up for that in other ways, whether it be driving in runs or, you know, hitting for power. And some of that has gone away. Carlos Santana's not hitting for the power that they had hoped. Moss, his numbers across the board are pretty relative to his career, but I would say he's not producing as expected. They've had issues with Yan Gomes not hitting offensively very well since he came back from that knee issue. You know, and the lineup just through the middle of it has been a mess. I mean, when Ryan Rayburn and David Murphy, who are a platoon, are two of your better hitters in the lineup right now, you know, that's speaking to some of the issues that are going on with some of the regular contributors.
And, you know, coming off a weekend in Baltimore, it'd be about the worst a team can have, where not only do they get swept, but they get rained out and then play doubleheader, fail to score in either game of the doubleheader. And just looking at a couple of those hitters in particular, you mentioned Carlos Santana. Two for his last 26 with runners in scoring position. Is there something that, I mean, you can see him pressing? It's clear that this is a guy that just, needs something to turn around, you know, the big hit to get him turned around?
Yeah, I think so. He's always been a really streaky hitter, and within those streaks, the one thing he's always done well is get on base via the walk. You know, last year, I believe, he led the majors in walks. This year, he's up there again, despite his low batting average and his poor production with runners in scoring position. I think you can see right now maybe some of that pressing at the plate. As I mentioned earlier, the power numbers, the slugging isn't really there right now. And this is something similar to what he went through last year. I believe last year, the first couple months, he was hitting about 190 on the season, and everyone was talking about what was wrong with Carlos Santana and what were they going to do with him. And he got really hot in the second half, really turned it on, and ended up having, for him, a pretty productive year, hitting over 25 homers and, as I mentioned, leading the league in walks. And that was a guy that, you know, if you look at advanced metrics, was still above league average. And even right now, despite his struggles, you know, he's been valuable in terms of on-base ability, but they need more from him. You know, I think the days are gone of dreaming of this guy being a 280 to 300 hitter. I think at this point, he's been in the big leagues long enough where we can kind of say he is what he is, but what he needs to be is more of a power hitter, and that's what's kind of been missing.
Yeah, and another guy who's been producing maybe, but not in the way that would be expected or could most help now, Michael Brantley, whose power seems to have vanished. But talk about all those strikeouts. As we talk now, he has 9 more walks than strikeouts. Batting average still just under 300, so it's hard to point and say the guy's not hitting. But no home runs since May 14th. And, you know, the health is somewhat questioned. You know, he does get questioned. Is his back a problem? And he's insisting physically he's fine, just the power hasn't been there. What are you seeing from him?
Yeah, I mean, just knowing Brantley and knowing his, drive to be that stand-up teammate and be there for his guys, even if his back is hurting, he's not the guy that's going to come out and say it is, because to him, that's an excuse. And that's just, I mean, you respect him for that, but at the same time, I mean, if this is even a minor issue, you know, that can really screw up your swing and take a lot of the power out, and I think that's what we've seen. You know, but you're right. I mean, when we look at him and we see that average right around 290, 295, and we feel like he's slumping, because he hit for, I think, 327 last year. He had 20 homers. He had the 45 doubles. I mean, he was an all-around threat last year offensively. And we're still seeing some of that consistency. But even within his strikeouts, we're seeing more swing and miss over the last month or so than we did early in the year. Really early in the season, he had very, very few actual swings and misses. And we're seeing that a little bit more. So I don't doubt that the bat is a problem. It's obviously not problematic enough to keep him out of the lineup. But I think it is problematic enough to take a little bit of a toll on his offense. I think that's what we're seeing.
Well, I'm sure you've talked about this guy plenty, but I haven't had a chance to talk with you about it. Francisco Lindor, he's played 13 games now, had his first big league home run last week, not something that he's expected to make the trademark of his game. But how's it been to watch this guy in the lineup every day?
You know, it's been fun. You can kind of see some of the different elements of this game. There was one game where he scored on a wild pitch that wasn't that wild from third base. It wasn't that far away from the catcher, and he showed his kind of energy and speed by scoring on that play. And he showed a little bit of his power with that home run. He's looked very athletic in the field. He's a guy who, so far, you've kind of seen slow out of the gates in terms of overall on-base ability. It took him a while to draw a walk, and when he did, he drew two in a game for the first time. So I think that's the area that's going to be a little more slow to come, is, you know, getting used to major league pitching and getting used to getting on base more. But they like him in that two-hole, being a switch hitter, a guy who can do some different things, and we've seen a little bit of everything from him. I don't think it's been up to the level that he will be. But again, a big trademark for him is his defense, and that's been pretty strong so far. And that was a big idea between bringing him and Giovanni Urshela up at third base. You know, both those guys are pretty green in terms of experience, but they're both above average defenders. And when they had Chisenhall and Jose Ramirez on that left side, you know, left a little something to be desired, and they feel like they shored up some things defensively there. But when you're going with two kids, you're going to, you know, kind of live and die with the offensive inconsistency. I think that's been there a little bit. But, you know, so far, I think it's been fun to watch Lindor, see some of the elements he brings. I think, you know, you'll see improvement as the year goes on.
Hey, one last quick question. It looks like Jason Kipnis is going to go back to the All-Star game. Other than Kipnis, if the Indians had one other candidate, who would you say is their second-best candidate?
Well, I think Brantley's still in that mix, you know, given his high average and given, you know, being on the field as much as he has and being in the heart of that lineup. And actually, this might be surprising, but I think Corey Kluber has a case. You know, if you don't look at his win-loss record, I mean, this is a guy that you could argue is a top-five starter in the AL right now in terms of strikeouts, in terms of FIP, in terms of WAR, in terms of innings. You know, a lot of those categories, you see his name right at the top, strikeouts per nine, strikeouts to walk ratio. He's just had no run support, and he's getting hung with a ton of hard luck losses. So his win-loss record looks really ugly right now. And I know that a lot of times you don't want a guy in an all-star game if he's 3-9 or 3-10. But Kluber's pitched much better than his win-loss record indicates. And, you know, again, I'm not sure if he's going to make it, but I think there's definitely a case there, especially being the reigning Cy Young winner.
Sounds good. I do appreciate it, Jordan. For Jordan Bastian, this is Phil Rogers. This has been MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition. Thanks for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.